let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargel and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, AncientHopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the AncientHopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the AncientHopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Father John and Danny. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher in the studio today with Father John Wargel. Welcome back, Father John. Great to see you today.
That's right. And we're all excited about our text today, aren't we?
I'm not. Because it's not a pretty thing. You know, when you think yeah. about this, it's really ugly. You know, it's yeah. this idea that that he even says
yeah.
this.
Yeah. Right. The language here is really, well, quite frankly, it's obscene, right? And
yes.
So we have to work our way through that, right?
Okay.
But that's important. And we've already touched on it a little bit before. But up to this point, we have Moses, okay? Back in, when he was young, he tried to deliver Israel and failed. Now, after all this experience with Yahweh on the mountain and all the things that he can do, you know, with regard to signs to show Pharaoh and Israel that God is on his side. He goes there, and instead of Pharaoh repenting and saying, oh, okay, you can go.
I believe in God.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I am the God.
Right. And of course, Pharaoh, we said earlier, represents the devil,
right.
and Israel, the flesh, right? It says, I'm going to make things even more rough on you, okay?
Yep.
And so Moses comes back to God absolutely in a bad way, okay? He's this, you know.
Sure, he's depressed and angry, and nothing went his way.
Right.
No, that's
yeah.
horrible.
And so he has had no success up to now. So he's saying, why should I expect success in the future, right?
Right.
So, you know, this is not a good idea, Yahweh. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, he tries one more time. Come on.
Right,
let's go some other direction here.
Yeah. And so he uses a metaphor here that, you know, it's just so hard to wrap our minds around. Okay. And he says, I have uncircumcised lips. Okay.
Yeah.
And of course, when you look at metaphors, you usually enter it with your imagination. Here, Danny, we don't want to go there with
no
our
way.
Imagination.
Yeah.
It's terrible. And with it is that bite of anger,
yeah.
of shame, mm-hmm. okay, of who he is as a person. And it's repeated again at the end of chapter 6. To emphasize the magnitude of Moses's feelings about
yeah.
this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And in between is, interestingly enough, is set a genealogy.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like they wanted to.
You might say, well, I'm reading this narrative, you know, all of a sudden this genealogy pops up.
Right. What's the deal with that?
Right. You know, so structure is everything, right? We always know that structure is important. So this is placed here in an important way. Okay. So the genealogy starts out with the oldest, Reuben, and very little is said about him. And then Simeon, who's probably the second born, but also twins with Levi, right? So it talks about him in a very short way, but it really wants to get into Levi.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only son that's discussed from this point on as far as a genealogy is concerned.
Yeah.
Okay. Because Levi is the tribe of Moses and Aaron. So it really focuses on his legitimacy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, you know, I've been reading and studying Casuto's commentaries on Genesis and on Exodus. And Casuto is a very fine Jewish commentator. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he adds up all these years of the three generations of Levi in exile, And they live a long time, okay?
Which, yeah, ridiculously.
Which is impressive, right? Yeah. To live in, as slaves in Egypt a long time, right?
Right.
But if you look at all the numbers, you know, and it really comes out to 400. And they're in series of 3 7s and 10s.
Right.
Those are perfect numbers, right?
Right.
So
yeah.
We shouldn't look at these numbers. We need to look at them symbolically. That's how numbers are, basically, in the Bible. Okay,
yeah.
They're symbols. And here, it comes to 430 years that they were in exile. So these numbers are important because it shows that God, in His perfect timing, is breaking into their world,
mm-hmm.
and He's doing it through Moses, who's complaining that he is not the man for the job.
Right. So it just seems like this whole portion of the scriptures here is, you know, Moses says, I'm not the guy. And then the writer proves he's the guy.
Excellent. That's it. That's it.
And then he says it. And then he says it at the end,
genealogy.
To bookend.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. You're the guy, Moses.
You are the guy.
Because the time has come.
Yeah.
And you're the one that's chosen to do this, not in spite of your deformities, but I'm using these deformities to do what I need to do.
Yeah.
And this is a theme throughout Scripture, okay? It's kind of like a reversals motif. And in the world, we look at the eloquent, we look at the strong. We're always looking for people who are capable, right?
Yeah.
In the Bible, it's almost as if God looks for, you know, I hate to use this, but sometimes He looks for the dumbest person, because when God does something through them, then it's great. And it's not just the dumb people. I mean, look at St. Paul, okay?
Yes, right.
He was
a smart guy.
He had an excellent brain, okay? He was theologically trained by the best rabbis of the day, Gamaliel, who was considered by the rabbins to be one of the seven greatest rabbis of all time.
Wow.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's a big deal. And yet, what does he say? He says, you know, I have this awful thing that's bothering me. He doesn't even mention it.
Right.
It's interesting. He doesn't even mention it.
He doesn't even say what it is.
It
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why is that? It might be so personal.
Yep.
That he just can't say it.
Right.
Whereas Moses blurts out, I'm a man of uncircumcised lip. Paul doesn't even say what's really there, you know, what it is.
But the great thing is he's just admitting his weakness. You know, this
is,
and it's a humility thing to me. And yeah, just.
Well, you know, I look at my own life, okay? And, you know, I was not the brightest bulb, okay, at any stage of my existence.
Well, I hate to think about who I am then, because
well, you might think,
man,
so, but let me
pretty
explain.
Smart guy.
Let me explain that, okay?
Uh-huh.
It all started in the first grade, okay? Because I got out of kindergarten, and then they divided grades up with the really smart people and the really dumb people. I started out in the smart, and then they realized that I didn't belong here.
So oh, no.
In first grade, they put me in the dumb class.
Let's just call it the less smart class.
The less smart. I can't remember if it was first or third grade. I think it's first grade. Okay. From then on, I had a stigma in my mind. I'm a dummy. Okay. And so I was lost. I never did well. Okay. Terrible. I got C's. Of course, to get C's, you don't have to do anything but show up.
Right,
back
yeah.
in the 60s and the 70s, right?
So you were told what your potential was, and you were sort of living up to your potential.
Yes, right.
Because this,
this
is
really
all I'm
going to
do. Yeah, yeah.
Then, you know, in grade school, you look forward, well, maybe things will be better in junior high. Oh, my goodness. We called it junior high then. We called it middle school here,
yeah.
Right here. And right away, they put me in a summer school math class. I did poorly, basically, in everything, and I wasn't motivated. It was just hard. You know, I just have a slow mind. I will say, Danny, I have a slow mind, okay? And say, well, maybe in high school, well, by that time, at the end of middle school, I didn't have any illusions that high school is going to be any better.
Right.
And so, you know, that was a terrible experience. Back in my day, to get into college, you basically had to have someone with a checkbook, okay, and they put a mirror to your face to see that you're breathing, okay? So I got into college, and I did have a little bit of a knack flair for writing, so I wrote a paper, okay? And the history teacher called me and he says, listen, okay, I see what your SAT scores are, which, you know, was almost flatlined, okay?
Yeah, oh boy.
But I see that you wrote this paper, you know, did you really write this paper, you know?
You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Father John Wardle and Danny Gallagher. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Father John and Danny.
And the history teacher called me and he says, listen, okay, I see what your SAT scores are, which, you know, was almost flatlined, okay?
Yeah, oh boy.
But I see that you wrote this paper, you know, did you really write this paper, you know?
Uh-huh.
I go, yeah, I did, yeah. Yeah.
No, I used AI.
AI back then. Okay, it wasn't that it was great paper, just that, you know, whatever. So anyways.
Was he saying that it was above your seeming capability?
Yeah, probably, you know. And so, but it was in my junior year that I met this person, which every evangelical knows this name. His name is John Piper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and he had just come fresh from Germany with his PhD, very intense, very intelligent, okay? And I had a class from him, and, you know, I remember he gave me a C in that class, but I couldn't understand why I got a C because I was so motivated.
Ah,
you see, because he motivated me. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I started studying hard. And so I would memorize things. I wouldn't think through them. Okay. I just memorized things for test.
Mm.
And so I got into seminary. I did the same thing there. I was, you know, my bulb was not very bright, okay? And nobody in any of these stages would ever expect me to succeed at all.
Wow.
That's the way it is. And here's the clincher. Somehow, by hard work of memorizing, okay, I got into a grad school, okay? It's a Dropsy College back then, okay?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I have a brilliant scholar. You know, Harvard trained. I mean, he was, you know, a Jewish professor, Stephen Geller. And after getting to know me for a week or so, he said this. He said, Mr. Wargle, you do not know how to think.
Wow.
And I said to myself, I know. help me. And, you know, yeah. He did.
Huh.
He for years, you know, 6 years, I had to have tutorials with him.
Wow,
there
cool.
was him, the Bible, the Hebrew Bible, and myself.
Wow.
And he would ask questions. Okay, read out loud, translate, comment. Okay. And he wouldn't answer any questions. He'd ask questions, but he wouldn't answer them for me. He made me just
think through.
And, yeah, for 6 years, you know what I mean?
Wow.
And so at the end of the whole thing, I wrote him a letter. And I said, I thank them for being my Professor Higgins. And uh-huh. I was here, Eliza yeah. Doolittle.
That's it, yeah.
But even then, I have a PhD, right? But I'm not smart enough to get into any big time scholarly thing because I'm not a scholar, Danny. I'm a student, okay?
Yeah.
It's a student. But I'm saying all these things, plus the fact that my greatest fear is getting up in front of people, okay?
Man, you're in the wrong job.
all these things, okay?
Yeah.
And now at an old age where things are coming together, people say, I can't understand that. You know, do this, do that, and blah, 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 blah. But Danny, all my life long with God is this. I just love telling people the story, okay? Because I'm not very smart, okay? What happens through me is the Holy Spirit's work. Yeah. So if anybody sees anything good, if anybody thinks that whatever comes out of this is profound, if anybody is helped by anything through me, I can joyfully say, Danny, that it comes from my uncircumcised brain.
Oh, man. Oh, no.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure, yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
it floods out of me because it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And so I see that and I rejoice.
Yeah.
Because that makes me really happy, yep. Right?
And it works back to what we said originally about how God chooses the low, the weak.
That's right.
Not so smart group of people. And I think it's really for this reason, because God knows, one, they'll tune themselves to what he's trying to do, what God is trying to do.
Right.
And because that's just the sort of people that they are. And then they'll really come forth with the things that he really wants them to say, because that's, again, the kind of people that they are,
And when you say these things, and like, you know, what we're talking about now, that should motivate everyone.
Yes.
Because everyone has these things.
Well, it motivates me.
Yeah. And we can say, hey, God can do something through you.
Mm-hmm.
And you shouldn't be ashamed of whatever your impediments might be.
Yes.
Because those are the very things that God works through.
Okay, yeah, those are the ones that God is going to use.
Yeah, every week I'm preaching to hundreds, sometimes thousands of people, okay?
Yeah.
No one, including myself, would ever have seen that, okay?
But God did.
But God did.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. Okay, yeah. So this is just critical for our life's lesson, okay? Because it's not just a history that we're reading today, about Moses's shame, that I'll act like bookends around what his genealogy and the fact that God has been planning for him for 420 years.
Yeah, 430.
And he's planning
actually
for you, for all these years. And so I really never think about the fact that I'm doing a high wire act.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Good.
Matter of fact, my greatest. Did I ever talk about sparking the piano?
I don't think so.
Really, we've been doing so many of these things.
Uh-huh.
But that story has always been sort of haunts me, okay? I think I probably did. But, repeating yourselves won't, Sparky was supposed to practice playing his piano, and he never liked doing that.
Ah, okay.
Okay. And one day the piano talked back to him and says, just run your hand and fingers over the keys, okay? And so all of a sudden he's playing, Rachmaninoff, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And his mother's shocked, and the piano teacher says, oh, no. The story goes on and on and on, but he eventually is playing at the Carnegie Hall.
Uh-huh.
And so he plays, everybody just roaring, praising him, even though deep down he knows it's not him, but it's the piano playing.
Oh, wow. Sheesh.
And then they ask for an encore.
Oh.
And all of a sudden he takes it into himself. Yes, I am great. I'm going to play this encore, right?
Yeah.
And he gets there.
And the piano doesn't cooperate. Oh, no.
And he says, play, Sparky, play. And the piano won't. And he looks at the audience, in Carnegie Hall, and everybody, he's exposed for what he really is.
Oh, my gosh.
That's how it seems to me in my life. If the Holy Spirit would plug up, his source of power working through me, I'd be up there and saying, play, Sparky, play.
Right. Well, the good thing is, that's not going to happen. I mean, you're...
Well, if I all of a sudden, like an idiot, start believing what people tell me about myself, then there's always that thing.
Yes.
But hopefully I'm too old to go after that bait, what I mean? To me, the greatest thing is when I elevate the host and say, with him and in him, through him, God Almighty Father, in unity of the Holy Spirit, what? all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
Yeah.
I love those words because I really mean it, you know?
Well, it tells the story like it really is. You know, that's the great thing.
Yeah, right. So this text is, you know, I mean, it never gets old. It's all wonderful and good, isn't it?
It's great to focus on I was surprised, actually, when I saw this blog post was for this one verse, essentially. And I thought, wow, you're really focusing in on this one verse. But now I understand why.
Right.
You know, the importance
of
every single verse. And this one in particular tells a lot about who Moses is, who God calls him to be, why. And it speaks a lot about us and who we are.
Right. And so now God considers him ready for battle.
Yeah. Well, let's hope.
So the battle begins. Okay.
Yes. Okay, Moses, go get him, buddy. Okay, good. Thanks so much for coming in.
God bless you. Bye.
See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture.
Thanks for listening. The Deep Dive into Scripture podcast theme music is Epic Trailer by Scott Holmes, sourced from scottholmesmusic.com. Using a Creative Commons license. Please go to ancienthopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple or Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.